Why does it matter at all that we watch and be prepared? What is it about our relationship with the Lord of the house that makes it so imperative that we please Him at His coming? To answer these questions, I think we need to really understand the whole story of salvation, the gospel, the good news. So throughout this season of Advent, we're trying to break up this story into four digestible chapters so that we really understand the context of all of the scriptures and the gospel, and indeed why we must prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. The first chapter has to do with creation. First chapter of the history of salvation, of the gospel, of good news, is that the Lord God created everything as a gift that comes from His love. We can spend time, and should spend time, pondering the grandeur of the universe, not only its immensity, but its complexity, right? From the furthest galaxies to the smallest cells or particles, the great order that's behind all of creation and its tremendous beauty. We ought to conclude from looking at all of those things that it's nearly impossible, so highly improbable, that this would all come to be at random, as a random accident. The universe didn't call itself into being. It had an intelligent and powerful origin from which it came, a creator. We should marvel too and ask ourselves this question: why is there something rather than nothing? Why do I exist at all? It's not at all necessary that I exist. It's not at all necessary that you and I would be in being. And yet, here I am. Here you are. Which one of us chose to exist? Which one of us made ourselves? Our existence is from another. It's a gift, not the result of our own choice, but that of another. What a marvelous thing. Throughout this Advent season, I want to use our first reading today from chapters 63 and 64 of Isaiah as our outline to understand these four points. So Isaiah talks about creation by using two simple words, really: Lord and Father. He said today, "You, Lord, are our Father forever." And he concluded his thoughts today, "O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." So we see that God is Lord, He is Father, He is Creator. My brother, who lives out on the West Coast, a couple weeks ago sent me a video of his daughter Addie. She just turned one. She's standing in front of a big mirror. And what does she do? Well, she approaches the mirror, and then she gives her image a big fat kiss. Okay. Now, which one of us would be comfortable kissing our own image in a mirror? There's a reason why we feel uncomfortable, isn't there? But there's a good reason why what she did is perfectly fitting. Because of the reality and the truth of creation, what she did is not crazy, not off base, but rather can instruct us about something very important. As Isaiah said, God is our Lord, our Father, and our Creator. He is our Lord, and that He is sovereign, right? That we owe Him everything because our existence comes from Him. He's our Lord, He is deserving of our worship and our love. God is our creator. And in the image that Isaiah gives us, we realize that He is not a disinterested creator, but rather one who is directly involved in fashioning us. The potter, their hands are literally in the midst of the creation, the clay, all dirtied by it, if you would. So intimately connected is this work. So are we. God has decided how we ought to be, what we are to be like. He has personally invested and involved in your coming to be, in your life. Isaiah adds that God is not just our creator, but our Father. That we have an intimate and familial relationship with God, who is our origin. Again, it's a direct and a personal link between God and us. Just as a father and a child, there is a dependency, right? The child cannot exist without the father. And the child needs the father in order to thrive and to continue to exist and grow and live. This relationship between God and us, right? So we can marvel at all of the beauty of creation, but the highlight of creation, the high point, the most stunning of all of creation is the human person. It's you. And as we read in Genesis, God creates everything and He sees that it is good. And then He creates humanity, male and female. In His own image and likeness, He created them. And He says, "It is very good." So my niece Addie, in her innocence, is showing us something. Her disposition is closer to our original state than mine is. If we knew who we really were, we would cultivate this healthy self-love. If we knew in whose image we were made, we might reverence the image we see in the mirror as a way of accepting this astounding gift of our life and our identity as beloved children of God. We are made in God's image and likeness. We are the masterpiece of His creation. He has chosen to be our Father, our Creator, our Lord forever. So what does this mean for us to be made in His image and likeness? Just going to highlight four aspects of that. First, the fact that we're in God's image and likeness. Part of that is that we have this capacity of free will. Our actions are not determined by our circumstances, by our natural drives, or by our experiences. Our actions are certainly influenced by those things, but not determined by them. We remain free to choose this or that, to choose one thing or the other. Just as God was free to create or not, to make creation in this way or that, God, who is totally free, has nothing at all that restricts what He can do. We are like God in that He has made us free. We have free will. We are like God too in that He has given us the gift of intellect. Our intellect is something that sets us apart from the rest of creation. It's a difference not just in degree, like we're smarter than the dolphins who are smart in some ways. It's not just a difference in degree. It's a difference of kind. We can understand the processes of how things work. We can ask questions about the meaning of things. We can imagine a future that we would like to have and then choose today things that will lead us closer to that imagined future. Our intellect is not just a higher degree than the other animals. It's an entirely different kind. And in this, we are like God. This is a reflection of God's intellect. Thirdly, to be made in His image and likeness means that we have been given the capacity to love. The capacity to love means that we can sacrifice for the good of another without expecting any gain for ourselves or even for the propagation of the species. This capacity to love is unique, and it is part of our likeness to God. The fourth aspect is the one I want to focus on just a little bit more today. The fact that we're made in God's image and likeness means that we are capable of having a real and authentic friendship with God. Our second reading alluded to this. And St. Paul said, God is faithful, and by Him you were called to fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we're called to fellowship with God, with God's Son, Jesus, who is God. And this was true from the beginning. Right? And friendship requires that there be some likeness to the other. Right? If you are totally different from someone, you can't establish a friendship. If you have a pet hamster, okay, you can't have a friendship with that hamster, okay. There can be some kind of relationship of dependence, you know, the hamster depending on you, and whatever you receive from the hamster, I don't know, but it's not friendship because there's not that degree of likeness, okay. To say that we're made in God's image and likeness opens up this crazy idea that though God is Lord, though He is so much greater than I, though He is so different than I in His grandeur, His power, His goodness, and so on, He has opened the door to friendship with Him by making us in His likeness. This likeness makes friendship conceivable, and it makes it possible. God is interested in you. He wants to have a relationship with you, a true friendship, the sharing of hearts, yours with Him and His with you. He wants to share His life with you. These are the things that define what friendship is, right? We share life with them, with one another. This is what God desires for us. And from the beginning of creation, this was the reality. Adam and Eve, humanity walked in easy friendship with the Lord. You know, Genesis kind of paints this image of just the Lord strolling through the garden, you know. How you doing? Have a conversation with Him. You know, what are you up to? This easy friendship with Him. That's the way it was meant to be. Let's go back to my niece Addie again. That display of, you know, recognizing this goodness in herself. This being made in the image and likeness of a loving God. Right? Who desires that closeness with her. Now we feel uncomfortable with the person we see in the mirror because of chapter 2 of this story. There's something that has marred, but not destroyed, it's marred that likeness to God. And that's generally what we see when we look in the mirror. But we'll talk about that next week. But if we knew If we really knew who we were, if you knew who you are and what you're made for, you would look in the mirror and marvel, see something of beauty and goodness, someone with tremendous capacities. Capacity to have a friendship with the most powerful and greatest being in the universe. We don't marvel at how great we are in ourselves, not at all. But we would marvel that God has made us uniquely and deliberately and for a purpose, for friendship with Him. This is good news, friends. God has made us. He made us unique and in a privileged way above all creation. He made us for a purpose. He made us so that we could receive His love and we could love Him in return. He made us for a real and close friendship with Him. Your life is good. Deep in your heart, this relationship with God, this nature that He has given you, this capacity for love, are what define who you are. Do you really see yourself that way? Are you living in a way that reflects that reality? As we begin this Advent season and this reflection on this great story, we pray, Lord, as we prepare for Your coming, help us to see the beautiful and astounding vision that You have for Your creation. Let this good news stir in our hearts a new perspective on our own lives and on our role in the world and the relationship that You desire to have with us. You, our Lord, our Creator, our Father, seek to have this true friendship with us. What good news, Lord. Thank You for our lives. Thank You for creating us and giving us this chance to be in Your presence today.